charges at the goal. He's got it! Where's the blood? Bruce! Oh, you beauty! Went up and away!
With a quick snap, is it going to bounce through?
No, he can't do that! Long before, look at the puppy! Oh, puppy!
Handball away to Jones. The skipper swings around and kicks another one for the Demons.
On Hungry for Sport, with the most comprehensive wrap of the AFL round, here's the team at afl.com.au.
Yes, so Nick Bowen joins us from afl.com.au. Good morning, Nick.
G'day, Kevin. How are you?
Good. That's an interesting one with Clay Smith. I know the Bulldogs have put out a release as well, just saying that when he went off, originally when he hurt his knee, they did determine that, in fact, he'd ruptured his ACL, that reconstruction from past times had ruptured. There was no pain or swelling at that stage, and the young man wanted to go back on, and they said it was being held together by the structural strength of all that muscle work that obviously he'd put around that knee. So they put him back on, and then of course he just fell over.
Yeah, look, I suppose our immediate reaction here, KB, was to see whether there'd been any precedents, any other similar cases, and short of there was a Luke Ball one a few years ago where I think he got a knock to his knee when he was at Collingwood, went back out, and I think he's then done the ACL. So I don't think that was a similar sort of situation. So I imagine that the young guy, this being his third, was absolutely, keen as mustard to sort of get back out there, knowing that he's not going to be playing for some time. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the course of today. See some reactions from medical people, player managers, the AFLPA, even just as to what the sort of the right response is in this situation, because it's a surprising one to think that a club would put someone back on who has torn an ACL. But look, we can only, I suppose, at this stage take the Dogs at face value. They're saying no further damage was done. There was never any risk of any further damage being done, and they've obviously consulted quite a few people outside the club to satisfy themselves of that fact.
Yeah, this official report I've got in front of me now says that the club understands this is what occurred. He injured his knee midway through that second quarter, taken off the ground and into the rooms. He was assessed clinically and functionally by the club's doctor and also by the senior physiotherapist. Their assessment at this point was revealed that the graft from Clay's last knee reconstruction had ruptured. Despite this, Clay had no pain or swelling and maintained that his knee felt fine and was assessed to be able to cope functionally in running, jumping, twisting and weaving manoeuvres. Clay was then informed that despite his knee functioning, he would need a reconstruction and would be out for a prolonged period. Clay then expressed a very, very strong desire to return to the field of play. Now, the medical staff permitted him to do so on the basis of their clinical judgment that because the graft had already ruptured, the prospect of it being made worse by a second incident was an acceptable risk, and that the function of the knee in this period and the first incident and the second incident was all to do with the strength of the knee surrounding the muscles. So it's an interesting one. They knew it had ruptured. Yeah. They said you need a knee reconstruction. They put him back out onto the field, and then, as we know, I think he was just standing there, went to move, and his knee just collapsed on him. Simple as that.
Yeah,
so,
look,
interesting one.
It is an interesting one. I mean, I think the thing that occurred to me as a non-medical expert, and it's certainly something we're going to look at delving into a bit deeper today, is that, you look at, say, the Lars option, and that's obviously dependent upon a certain amount of fibres being left in that ligament to enable you to do that. Would that have been an option if they'd taken him off after the first sort of incident? Perhaps not. But certainly it's one that I'm interested to follow up a bit further with people who know a lot more than me today.
Well, they're maintaining that the second incident did not aggravate the injury and that permitting Clay to return to the field did not put him in a position of unacceptable risk. Some other injuries, Joel Selwood, that's an interesting one with his hand.
Yeah, some good news out of Geelong, or soon to come out, I believe, this morning, KB. He's been cleared of any fractures and is set to play this week. So I know there was a lot of concern for him Friday night, because I think the hand swelled up quite a bit. But, great news for the Cats that he should be playing this weekend.
Hmm. Well, it looked like it was broken. There was so much swelling, but if they're saying he's been cleared of any breaks, so what is it? Just bad bruising and swelling, is that all?
Look, I assume so. I mean, all I know is that he's been cleared of fractures, so you'd assume that there's bruising and swelling, and certainly, you'd never underestimate Joel Selwood's courage. So I think everyone probably thought the worst, that he'd be playing with a fracture, but No, he's been given the all clear.
Isaac Heaney, that young boy, has gone down with a knee. How serious is that?
It's a PCL, KB, so they're estimating 4 to 6 weeks. He's going to have a scan today, but they're just expecting that's going to confirm what they already know. No ACL damage, so not ideal to lose a young guy like that, 4 to 6 weeks, but I suppose when you look at what it could have been, it's not that bad a result.
Mm. And Rory Sloane has a cheekbone?
He does. He's due to... It's a little bit unclear just how bad that one is at this stage. He could play this week. These are injuries that people can come back from pretty quickly and also, you know, can miss, say, you know, will actually play the next week. So it's yet to be confirmed whether he's got a fracture or not, but we're expecting that that'll become clearer today. The worst possible result, you know, if you get a bad one, is normally about 4 weeks.
And there was a few other ones on the weekend. I know Ben Griffiths of the Tigers got a knock to the head and obviously didn't pass the concussion rule. So there's probably some doubt about him coming up next week as well.
Oh, exactly, KB. And these concussion ones, I suppose, it's really hard to get a gauge, though, isn't it? That he was obviously out pretty early in that game. But look, I think that everyone responds differently to these ones. He'll be put through the normal protocols this week. And I think the Tigers will probably have a pretty good idea, you'd imagine, by sort of Thursday, Friday, as to whether he's in the frame to play.
Now, the injury update, always with thanks to Epworth. Epworth is better. Let's have a look at some of the players who are in hot water this week, all thanks to Chromagen, Melbourne's number one solar hot water supplier to the building trade. We've got the match MRP panel, match review panel. Now, Harry Taylor has been reported for striking Travis Cloke.
Yeah, he has. This is a really interesting one, Kevin. I was working on that game, and you know these sort of incidents normally send the press box into a bit of a spin, especially with you know two high-profile guys like that. But look, there was no mention of it. Certainly no mention of it either of the coaches' presses. But the only thing I've actually seen of it is a still photo. It's a late spoil in a marking contest. He's got him with his left arm as it's swinging around to try and get the ball, but. Hard to say just on the basis of that, but I've been told that it's probably his spoil, when he made his spoil, it's a lot closer, a lot more timely than the one that Jordan Lewis had the week before. So he could be okay, but we'll just probably obviously have to wait to see how the MRP says.
Now, rough conduct charge against Mark Bagley on Barlow?
Yeah, look, he's obviously got... he's been off the ground when he's got Barlow. I think Barlow was attempting a mark. It's one where I reckon he's probably looking at a week, probably two down to one. He's got him with his shoulder, and it's one of those borderline ones that I think that, you know, you might see the match review panel think he hasn't got him high, but I think that there's pretty much a zero tolerance on that, this one, and I think he has got him on the head, and on that basis it's probably, you know, high contact, careless, and probably medium impact, so I reckon probably two down to one.
And Bernie Vince has been cited for rough conduct on Tom Mitchell?
Yeah, an interesting one. They've both been going at the ball from different directions. Probably got there around the same time. Tom Mitchell's gone to he's sort of lost his feet a little bit, and Bernie sort of, as he's turned, got him with a knee to the head. Now, I think based on our tribunal expert here, Nathan Smook, tells me that there's a few similar ones to this last year, and that Bernie might actually be saved by the fact that he was so close to the ball and had no other reasonable sort of alternative. So I don't think he's in extreme hot water. He may actually get off altogether. He may just get a warning. But, yeah, look, one of those ones where it's, you know, I suppose, a real sort of grey area that both of them arrived at the ball pretty simultaneously.
Now, there's one in the game last night, Tom Bell. He pushed Robertson and, of course, he crashed into the fence at Etihad Stadium, looked to be in a lot of trouble and was knocked out. And then finally he was sort of put onto the cart and he was sitting up in the cart. And in fact, he finally did come back onto the ground. But it was a very, very nasty look.
Yeah, it was, KB. I think that players have got to be mindful of the duty of care to each other when you're sort of getting around that boundary line area. And he just got absolutely flushed. His head just made completely flush contact sort of with there. So, look, I think Tom might sort of find himself, at least facing some sort of strife on a rough conduct charge. I think that the I don't think it's a great look for the game, and I think that the match review panel probably look relatively dimly on an action like that.
Yeah, I would think that he's in a bit of trouble. In fact, early in the game, the same thing happened to Mark Murphy. Not as serious consequences as happened to Robertson, but Mark Murphy got pushed very close to the boundary line as well.
Yeah, again, I think, you know, that there's not a lot of give in some of these sort of advertising hoardings. And I know players are sort of, you just contested the ball, it's a hard one. But I think that, you know, in some ways, it's probably a timely reminder for everyone that, you know, in these situations, you've really got to err on the side of caution and look after, you know, your fellow players.
Yeah, not much room from that boundary line until you hit the fence. Nick, always great to catch up. Really appreciate it from afl.com.au.
Thanks, Gabo.